Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Being shut up in that house cannot improve her mental health. That has got to be one of the spookiest families I've ever been in contact with.
Don't judge me, Andrea.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 11, A Presumption of Innocence. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fine.
Are you ready to talk about getting bad touched?
Sure. That's actually one of the less uncomfortable aspects of this episode.
Dave makes a note. All right, let's get into this episode, A Presumption of Innocence. Starting with our C story, a very C story. Dylan gets the ick. At the Peach Pit, Dylan blows out the candles on his birthday cake and starts coughing. And I'm literally in the process of making a note about what birthday it is that Dylan's celebrating when this happens. Clip number two.
What he would like to say is that although this is not the actual date until next week, he's very glad that you could all be here to celebrate his, 18th birthday.
Burn.
Yeah, maybe don't give the guy with the 40s forehead wrinkles the consumptive subplot.
Yeah.
Also, don't give anyone that subplot because no one cares.
No, and it's gross. He really goes for it with the coughing, too. It sounds painful and uncomfortable. Anyway, speaking of painful and uncomfortable, Dylan is still coughing the next day, but stubbornly won't go to the doctor because he's that guy. It takes Kelly and Brenda double-teaming him to convince him to go. She prescribes him antibiotics. He mentions having hurt his ribs surfing the previous year. Continuity. And when he says at her question that he surfs in Malibu because the water's cleaner, she tells him that after a rain, it's actually full of bacteria. Gross. Also true. Later, Dylan is still sick, and we have to sit through a PSA about the Coastal Water Initiative, because, as you will recall, this was an election year. And Dylan is bummed to learn that he can't vote on it because he had to have registered to vote 30 days ago. And finally, Dylan gets over his sickness. There's stuff about Donna's having already registered and Dylan lobbying her about the initiative, but who cares? Sarah, do you have anything to add?
Nope. Moving on.
Moving on. Brandon doesn't dance.
Oh, Jesus.
Were you guys aware Brandon doesn't dance? He doesn't. Steve is shocked at school to learn that Brandon is going to a dance club with Nikki. David is already laughing about it, which is kind of funny. And we find out that David is going to give Brandon a private dance lesson at his house, but Brandon dodges him. Brenda tells him to get over himself and do something that Nikki wants for a change. And then, oh God, you guys. So everyone goes to the club. Brandon starts to get toward the floor, but then some guy asks Nikki to dance and Brandon tells her to go and she leaves him her cardigan like he's her dad, which is kind of hilarious.
And then he's sitting there sipping ice water with the Brandon upraised pinky of pointed disapproval.
Yeah. In his t-shirt with a blazer over it. Ugh. Anyway. And then we get a montage of Nikki dancing with like a bunch of different guys while Brandon watches with his ice water like a creep. She finally asks his friends what Brandon's problem is. They tell him. And she tries to make him understand the appeal of dancing by dancing sexy all up on Steve. Okay, please go to the visual aids because this moment is covered in detail. First of all, Sarah got a cap.
We totally zap-rooted this moment. I don't know why.
So Nikki grabs Steve like by the vest and pulls him onto the floor, and he does like all of his Steve faces in a row. So you can see, you can save the one where he's like, when she's pulling him onto the floor, as well as in GIF form, the whole succession of, hey, what up, what? Like, it's such a, it's a poem. I can't, I mean.
And the rest of the episode is pretty dark, so mm-hmm. I'm actually not surprised that we seized on this moment of Steve-ity.
He's really funny. I have to give him credit. He can be really funny sometimes. Ian Ziering has a lot of comic faces and good comic timing. Anyway, so Nikki dances up all sexy up on Steve, because little does she know that Brandon's default reaction to everything is to bray about it, but we know. Let's hear clip number 3.
Stop the bombing, it's enough already.
No, we're just getting started.
Come on, Nick, you're making a spectacle of yourself here.
Oh, am I having too good a time? Is that it? Is that the problem, Brandon?
Excuse me if I don't enjoy watching you bump and grind with every guy in here.
Brandon, take it easy.
I will. Can you take her home?
You're making a spectacle of yourself. Okay, Dad.
And then bump and grind?
Yeah.
All right.
What is she, Gypsy Rose Lee?
And then
Lee?
The slut shame side eye that he drenches her with is so gross.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Gorgeously gift by Sarah D. Bunting in our visual aids. But yes, not okay. Not even a little okay. Like, what did he expect was going to happen there at a dance club? She wasn't going there to drink seltzer. Give me a break. Anyway, Monday.
And you refuse to dance. You did this to yourself. And then you're going to just ditch her at the club. Great. Nice.
Yeah, with Steve. Monday at school, Brandon insincerely apologizes for telling Nikki off and also for not dancing with her. She sort of acts like she thinks their places on either side of the dance divide is a potential relationship deal breaker, but not really. She's just being flirty. And then she gets him to agree to one private dance lesson, after which she'll drop it. And of course, Brandon goes into this stony face like he does every new experience, unmoved by Nikki's reminder that no one can see them. And it's dumb. And it just leads to them making out on the bed. He doesn't dance at all. But when we next see Brandon, he's in a suit with a t-shirt. He's seriously, I don't know if they just got him the wrong size, but it's like a Steve Harvey suit on him. The jacket is so long. Also, it's purple. Anyway, they are going to a dance club. David teases Brandon about dancing, and Brandon explains grossly in clip number 4.
Well, you see, David, in a relationship, you learn important things about the other person. For example, I have learned how dancing makes Nikki feel.
And how is that, Brandon?
Romantic.
Ew, don't tell people it makes her horny. They all know what you mean. You're in public. Don't be gross.
Stud mania out of control.
Oh, he's being such a squeeze.
He is. All right, let's get to the A story. Sue versus Creeper. So Gil, for some reason, is attending Dylan's birthday party, where Andrea grade grubs him about the B he just gave her on an English paper, so that he can tell her he doesn't want to talk business, and so we can all be reminded that she thinks, with some evidence, that Gil doesn't like her. And then Sue shows up with a curly maned burnout. You can see him and his hair in the visual aids. They barely fit. There's some hair spilling on the sides of the visual aids. Gil offers Sue cake and makes like he's going to feed her a bite. I thought I was crazy when I made these notes, and then I went back and looked again, and he does. I gift it. And then this happens. Clip number 5.
You know, what I do want is to know what I have to do to get a decent grade from you. Take my clothes off?
Andrea. Do you know Sue?
No, not really.
Andrea Zuckerman, Sue Scanlon.
Hi, hi. Listen, Gil, I'm not kidding. My mom's gonna kill me if I fail freshman English.
Sue.
Look, I'll just leave you two to, take care of business.
Sue, it's hard to get decent grades if you're cutting class all the time.
Well, couldn't I just do an independent study project instead? I mean, I really do work better one-on-one.
Tell you what, come by tomorrow and we'll talk about it. And don't let your mom get you down.
So we already know from Sue's big wardrobe change in the first episode that she was in that she has maybe some accelerated sexuality issues. and her take my clothes off and I work better one-on-one stuff is, you know, underlines that in case we had forgotten. Like, she's only in grade 9. That's a lot of talk for someone who's that young.
Yeah, and it's also extremely cheesy talk, but here is where, not that Gil ever had me, because whatever, loafhead. But, like, she's clearly coming on to him and has issues, and I don't, like, this is the point at which he should go to Mrs. Teasley and be like, I want her transferred to a section with a lady teacher.
Yeah. Or at least, like, you would think he would be, maybe they weren't then. I was thinking of, like, I guess teachers aren't, you know, whatever they're called, something reporters, mandated reporters. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
If something is up here, they're supposed to tell, like, social workers are, or ER doctors or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if they are or were.
But you would think that he might get some inkling. Like, it's actually well written, and Andrea is right, as we will get to later. But, like, for someone who's had something happen to her and is acting out in a way that's not appropriate for her age or appropriate in general, that, like, the way that she's talking is a sign, as and turns out to be one in reality, that, you know, something is up with her in private that he should maybe be asking someone about who's qualified to talk to her about it.
Yeah, especially since this is not his first time at this particular misunderstanding rodeo, but we'll get to that. And also, ew, sorry, I called it a rodeo.
So Sue comes home in her Mennonite clothes 4 minutes past curfew. She gets grounded for a couple of weeks, and then Mrs. Scanlon tells her that Uncle Henry is coming for a visit, and he's going to be sleeping in Scott's room. And Sue is upset by this since, as she says, it's been a shrine for the past year, but also for other reasons, as we will learn. Spoiler alert. after a shot of the boom mic in the hallway, good job, T-Rex arms. we find out that this season, Brenda is an office runner or something in her Eli Tahari separates, as Sarah termed them in the visual aids.
I'm pretty sure I had those separates just... several size. Well, actually, maybe it wasn't several sizes larger. Those are pretty large.
They are large. Anyway, Sue is always there, Brenda tells Donna. And when Brenda goes off to do whatever she's supposed to do, Donna tries to connect with Sue by nicely talking about David and how he cares about her, even though they had that whole her coming on to him thing in the pigskin prom. God. And then Sue is venting to Gil about her grades, and then some, in clip number 6.
I mean, so what if I flunk out? My mom would probably die of shame. She thinks her daughter's a deadbeat.
Do you think you're a deadbeat?
Sometimes I just think I'd be better off dead. I mean, it should have been me, not my brother. I'm sorry.
For what? For being honest? We all get down on ourselves sometimes, but you get through it. You just gotta focus on the good things in your life, the things that are worth sticking around for.
Like what? There's nothing.
Well, if you weren't around, you wouldn't know me. See what you're missing out on?
Yeah. You conceited or what?
Of course I am. Did I detect a smile there? Almost?
I came here to talk about grades and papers, and here you are trying to cheer me up. You really are different.
So are you. Sue, you're a very special girl.
So he puts
you
just her,
need to believe
he puts his hands on her cheeks. No. Then she hugs him.
Hugging.
And then they stare into each other's eyes for a second like they're having a moment. And then we see her running out sobbing.
Which is Andrea lurks.
Yes, Andrea's in the hall to see this. Oh boy. So, it's not great. And, you know, obviously they cut away for reasons. We're not supposed to know exactly what happened, but they have established to my satisfaction that Gil is capable of being a perv. So well done, I guess.
Or is just a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, especially given what we learn later, how are you in this position where you are touching a female student at all, even by mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Much less one who has expressed even a passing teenage melodrama suicidal ideation. Yep. What are you doing?
Yes.
And I don't know, like, even at my university, you had to have the door open.
Yeah.
If you were meeting with a female student as a male professor. I mean, there was actually one guy. They called it the Roach Rule.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Hey. Yeah, because Grabby.
Yeah, well, he does have the door open, and like they show Sue, you know, going over and closing it.
Yeah, she slams it, which was like...
He could open it again, you know.
Yeah, which is your move to cross to the door, reopen it, and stand there with it open. Like, I don't...
No.
I mean, I went to a girl's school, and there were problems with this, not while I was there, but afterwards.
Yeah.
And like now, I mean, but these were still rules, not that we paid any attention to them, because the male teachers that we had were few.
Mm-hmm.
Gay and or married.
Sure.
And or older than the hills. But I don't like no one touched me.
No.
No one.
No. Because it shouldn't happen. I mean, like the face grab is really over the line.
Oh, yeah. The cradling of the.
Especially since we see Reek doing it a lot soon. I don't mind it then, but that's a different context. Anyway, moving
yes.
on. Yes,
well, he's Superman, and this is super bread loaf.
Super bread.
Garlic gnat.
Okay. The next day, sorry. Gil teaches badly, and Brandon is stupid and unprepared in clip number 7.
What are the works of Poe, Hawthorne, and Crane have in common?
Hawthorne?
Can anyone tell me?
Who does?
Brandon.
Well, they're all very... dark, for lack of a better word.
No, that's exactly the right word.
No.
And they all rely heavily on symbolism as they explore the dark side of humanity.
Dave, can you just play the very beginning of that clip again?
What do the works of Poe, Hawthorne, and Crane have in common?
Okay, stop. As Sarah said when we heard it the first time, who is this Hawthorne that Gil is teaching?
Your mom's a Hawthorne.
Does he think there's a dark American writer called Hawthorne, or is he mispronouncing Hawthorne and no one corrected him and he was too dumb to know and no one caught it?
I mean,
Hawthorne of the hill people.
No quality control. Anyway, Brenda enters.
And then the boom mic smacks him in the head.
Penny whistle.
Brenda enters to give Gil a note from Mrs. Teasley and tell him that it is urgent, and Andrea is already suspicious, judging by her face, which you can see in the visual aids. Later, Brandon is concerned that Gil ditched English and then missed a Blaze staff meeting because that's not like him, although Andrea's like, he's capable of anything probably, which, good point. But then we find out that Gil's actually been out for several days by now, so Brandon is going to stop by his house in Malibu that he somehow can afford on a teacher's salary and find out what the deal is. Not just in Malibu, but like on the beach. And then Brenda shows up and gives them the scoop before Brandon can even get there in clip 8.
Well, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors surveyed prefer
antibiotics.
I've got
some bad news. Gil Myers is in big trouble.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how he likes to flirt with all the girls?
Yeah.
Well, this time he may have taken it too far. I don't know all the details, but he's been relieved of his duties pending an investigation, quote unquote.
What kind of investigation?
For sexual misconduct with a female student.
Student.
Oh,
electric guitar. So
I love Brandon's what kind of investigation. Like, he's not really interested in what kind of investigation. He's just PO'd that he was not consulted.
Yeah. It's a pretty big story. I feel like I should follow up on it for the Blaze. A lot of parents read it. Shut up, Brandon.
Yeah. Got a headline semi.
So after the commercial, we're subjected to casual Gil. You can see that in the visual aids as well. It gets worse over the course of the episode, but in this shot, he's in like a beige
and
ivory aloha shirt and like his stonewashed jeans. Not okay. Gil is not confident about coming back and isn't supposed to talk about what happened, and he's ready to go quietly, but Brandon, of course, brays at him that he has to clear his name. At school, Andrea walks past Gil's room to see Sue in there leaving a note. She tells Sue that she saw her run out of the classroom the other night and tries to get her to agree to peer counseling. And Sue is resistant until Andrea makes a connection by opening up about Chris, the drama teacher that she almost tried to do it with until she found out he had a girlfriend. Although she doesn't give her all the details, at least it's a point of commonality between them. And then Andrea is showing up at the Walsh house to talk to Brenda about Sue, because as we will recall, Brenda is Sue's senior buddy and doing a bang up job, apparently. Brenda tells Andrea that she knows something. Andrea asks for the inside track, and we hear that in clip number 9.
Well, according to Donna, the Scanlon family never really recovered from Scott's death. Sue's dad just kind of checked out of it emotionally, and her mom is a major control freak.
So she's just kind of an innocent victim in all this.
Well, with the way that she came on to David at the pigskin prom, I don't think you can really call her innocent.
That's a little much, I think. Jeez, Brenda.
Yeah.
I hope she feels
also,
bad about
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
Later.
Is a year the statute of limitations on your kid managing to Civil War gutshot himself to death in the den? Because I feel like you're allowed to grieve as long as you want.
Seriously. And be as weird as you want. Like, your kid shot himself in your house where you still live.
By the way, I think that's a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band, Civil War Gutshot.
Not to be confused with Spanish-American War Gutshot. Totally different sound.
Yeah.
And then Brandon bursts in, bubbling over with journalistic fervor slash pickishness in clip number 10.
How come you're so chipper?
Well, I couldn't figure out why a mother would just let a sex offender walk away unless she knew the charges were totally bogus. And now that we find out who the so-called victim is, it all makes sense.
Wait a minute. What makes you think that Sue's not telling you the truth? And Gil did not deny the accusations,
well, that's
did he?
Because he can't. That's part of their little deal.
Brandon, are you aware there has never been an unfounded claim of sexual abuse at West Beverly High?
Well, that doesn't mean there can never be one. And this girl is a nut, right?
Well, let's just say she's troubled. You are doing exactly what society has done to women for centuries. You are blaming the victim. She should not be on trial.
And what about being innocent until proven guilty, huh? He should have the right to confront his accuser.
Excuse me. He does have that right, and he's just chosen not to exercise
That's
it.
That's because Mrs. Scanlon is pressuring him.
Or maybe it's because he is not innocent. Have you thought of that? No, the only reason that you want to believe Gil is because he's the guy, and you can relate to that.
Yeah, okay. I like to think Gil and I have a lot in common. But what you and Sue have in common, that is beyond me.
Yeah. I guess it is.
Shut up forever, Brenda!
Unbelievable.
So terrible.
I mean, and he's just, you could sort of see this in the visual aids, but he is right up in Andrea's physical space, just like trying to short man dominate her. It's, ugh, he's terrible.
Yes, and she is not backing down. Season 3, Andrea is so over Brandon's shit, and it's great. Like,
it really is.
Such an improvement over on her character. So she is disgusted, of course, and leaves. Brenda and Brandon then discuss the accusation. Brenda at this point is inclined to believe Sue, but Brandon calls her screwed up, and then the doorbell rings, clip 11.
It's probably Andrea coming back to apologize to me.
Fuck you!
Sure ain't, bitch.
Fuck you. It's not. It's David coming over for to give him a dancing lesson that doesn't work out. All right. So after hours at school, Gil brings a box into the Blaze office to pack up his shit. Before long, Andrea enters and immediately goes on the offensive in clip number 12.
I can't believe you took advantage of a girl just because she had a crush on you.
Excuse me?
I know what happened. I know who was involved. I saw her running out of your classroom on Monday.
For what it's worth, I want you to know that I did not abuse or make a pass at that girl.
I don't know how you define the word abuse. All I know is that she was hurt and you were the cause.
I was trying to help her. Do you really have so little faith in me?
Kids just don't make up these things. You're not even putting up a defense. You're just running away.
Andrea, the reason I'm taking that deal is that I think Sue is in trouble. I don't think she can handle a confrontational hearing right now.
So you're just being noble. You're protecting her, even though you know your whole teaching career is on the line?
At least if I leave on their terms, I might still have a teaching career.
I know I can do a lot of other things, but I just happen to like working with young people.
Name one Blech. Other thing you think you can do. God. I mean, for real. He's so pompous. Also, the idea that the hearing that might occur if he were fighting this would be confrontational towards Sue is probably not accurate, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andrea says that he might... sorry, let's go ahead with clip 13.
Maybe you like it a little too much.
Maybe I do, but I can live with that. What I cannot live with is having two suicides on my conscience for the rest of my life.
What do you mean?
Here we go. Gil's private pain.
On my first teaching job, there was a girl. A very troubled girl. But she was very bright, beautiful, an amazing girl. She fell in love with me. But I did what I was supposed to do. I held the line. I even pushed her away. I was very clear, and she killed herself.
Because of you?
That's what the note said.
So you see, Andrea, I'm not about to publicly call Sue Scanlon a liar. As long as I know the truth, that's all that matters.
So to your point from earlier, Sarah, if this happens to you and your Gil, do you not then decide, maybe from now on I'm just going to teach at boys' schools?
Yeah. Or just not be that eager to be liked that there would be any confusion or ambiguity whatsoever in my interactions with any kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or go do one of the many other things you're obviously good at, like wearing ladies' shorts and imitating a loaf of rye.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah, so at this, Andrea seems to start believing Gil's version of the story and asks what happens to Sue if Gil just drops it and abandons her, and he tells Andrea that she can try to help Sue if he wants, but basically he's out. I kind of don't blame him. There's nothing really he can do at this point. And then, oh, Jesus Christ, Dylan goes to visit Gil at the beach so that they can do a PSA about Friends of the Bay and also an accidental PSA about why you don't cut your tank top sleeves, armholes too big, because armpit action all over the place. It's not okay. You can see it in the visual aids. Sorry, it is there. And so that Dylan can say that he would be blowing town too if he were Gil, basically. Oh, God. And then Andrea shows up at the Scanlons with a cake. Sue comes out and is weird, telling Andrea that she shouldn't come in and that she made a mistake. Andrea is very nice about the withdrawn invitation, but before she can leave, Mrs. Scanlon comes to the door at Mac's chirp and invites her in and introduces her to Sue's Uncle Henry, Mrs. Scanlon's brother. Sue tries to get Andrea to come up to her room with her, but Mrs. Scanlon says they're about to eat and then starts bragging on Andrea, whom she's just met in her typical incredibly weird way in clip 14.
Did you know that Sue's friend is the smartest girl in West Beverly High and she is going to Yale next year?
But no, I'm not the smartest, believe me, and I've just applied to Yale.
She is the editor of the school paper.
Editor-in-chief, is that right?
Well, actually, this year I'm the co-editor.
Maybe Sue could do some writing for the paper.
Well, sure, if she'd like to.
You know, I used to write for my high school paper.
Did you really?
Susan, get your brothers and sisters. We're going to start dinner.
Trouble was, if I didn't have a good story, well, I'd just make one up.
Oh, such a kidder.
For the Deadwood fans out there, Uncle Henry, as you can see in the visual aids, looks almost exactly like the guy who gets his eyes gouged out in the street by Dan Doherty.
Oh, Captain.
Looks like that guy.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Captain something.
Yeah.
Also, Turner? Brothers and sisters implies at least four other kids, and there's only two other places at the table, which is like the size of my kitchen table, bad set dresser, no biscuit.
Yeah. Like, it made me wonder, did they set two tables? Like, they had a kid's table just for this casual family get-together? Whatever.
It was Captain Turner.
They were also eating at 5:30, like, guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, after the tiny dinner, things get uncomfortable some more in clip 15.
Why don't we put on a videotape of the ranch?
Drink.
No, I don't think she's at all interested in our home movies, Mother.
But we have those terrific horse shows and we have Scotty jumping.
I don't want to see Scotty jumping. Scotty is dead.
I have to apologize for my daughter. She hasn't been herself since that nasty mess with that disgusting teacher.
Do you have to keep talking about it?
Seems to me that you were the one who talked about it first, weren't you, Sue?
Yes, I was.
So if you started it, well, then you ought to finish it, don't you think?
Henry.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe I ever got a clear explanation of exactly what that whole nasty mess was all about.
Henry, for heaven's sake.
All I've heard is a lot of talk about how he tried to seduce her, tried to have his way with her. I want to know exactly what she's saying he did. What she did to make him think he could make such advances.
What are you talking about? Sue didn't do anything.
Is that right, Sue? You didn't do anything, huh?
No. No, that's not right at all. I was the one who tried to seduce him.
Susan!
It's true! I tried to kiss him, but he wouldn't let me. It was me!
Danger music. So that's awkward.
I just want to say that doorbell was from the other club. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no one interrupted the Scanlon's bad dinner.
Dead son, police.
Don't you think you should get over it? We're the dead son police. Okay, bye. We have a warrant for you to stop leaving.
Plenty of people lose their son in gun accidents in their own house.
Turn his room into a crafting station already.
Oh, your pizza's here. Just the way your son would have liked it.
Cold.
Jumpy.
Anyway, so that's the story, or is it? We will soon find out. Spoiler alert, it's not. The next day we see Brandon welcoming Gil back to the Blaze. I have a note in my notes, extra in kilt and boots, which is like the 90s-est look. And then we come around to the front and it's not an extra at all. It's Kelly, who doesn't work on the Blaze and is not in Gil's English class. So what does she care if he is
and
back teaching?
Talk about the pleated Avenger. Those are some many, many tiny, tiny pleats.
Mm-hmm. Very 90s look. Andrea tells Brandon that she's glad she was wrong about Gil and then apologizes to Gil. He asks her how Sue is, and Andrea is like clearly totally ready to break Sue's confidence if only she knew what was going on with her, but she doesn't because she's not coming to the phone. After school, Andrea goes to the Scanlons to see Sue, but Mrs. Scanlon says she's only seeing family right now and shuts the door in Andrea's face. And then Andrea goes back to appeal to Sue's very pretty, if underdressed, senior buddy in a vest with nothing under it and a lot of cleave for just sitting around the house.
Yeah.
You can see it in the visual aids. Asks her to intervene, citing her status as a senior buddy, of course, as if that gives her a power of attorney or something. Andrea says someone has to get in there. Brenda has an idea. And then Brenda and Andrea are approaching Donna at the Peach Pit. Where else about intervening? Andrea actually uses the word suicidal to describe Sue, possibly. Eek.
Well, and what if she were? Is this like, whatever, Zuckerman's 11 caper? What is that going to do?
Yeah.
Like David at some point is like, shouldn't we call someone professional? And I'm like, thank you. Why don't you go do that with Steve's giant flip phone? Thank you.
Yeah, Donna is hesitant because she's not family, but David is, of course, as far as Mrs. Scanlon is concerned. And then David and Donna are showing up at the Scanlon's front door. Sue is happy to see David and lets them in. Mrs. Scanlon, however, is fucking beside herself to see David, the one of her sons who is still alive. Donna asks how Sue is, and Sue acts chipper. Mrs. Scanlon sends Sue to help Henry with dinner. And then, after bitching about the school to David and Donna, says that they're moving to Oklahoma. David asks if this isn't a sudden decision. She refers to all the happy times they've had in the house. Yeah, real happy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Get out the little hats.
Hello.
Outside, a million people have gathered for a midweek barbecue, as you do. Donna pulls Sue aside to see if she needs someone to talk to, but Sue, not unreasonably, is wary, and we hear that in clip 16.
Well, what do you care? I mean, really. We were just worried, that's all. I mean, Brenda, Andrea, even Mr. Myers. Well, everything's absolutely fine. I mean, I have my family. They're the ones who really care about me. So you can just tell everybody else to stop worrying.
Okay, so Sue takes off. Donna worries that she sucks at this whole helping people thing. Again, not unreasonably. Once David and Donna have their plates, Donna decides they might as well garnish them with some gossip, and that's what we hear in clip 17.
So, what's the deal with Uncle Henry?
Well, he was Scott's favorite uncle, but I guess last time when he was in Oklahoma, something happened, because he called him a jerk and never talked about him again. Good job.
Come on, Annie, you forgot to pick up your stuff. Uncle Henry said I didn't have to.
Sue, when your father's out of town, I'm in charge, so don't think that you can call the shots. Come on, Annie.
Ew.
So what we just saw, of course, and what Donna noticed is Henry totally grooming Amy for whatever. Ugh. So gross. Sorry.
They really cast this guy well, but
yeah, it's effective, but it's horrible. So Donna then follows Sue inside and finds her in Scott's room crying. Donna says that Sue can call her or David to talk at any time about whatever they want. Also, this is not the time, but please go to the visual aids to see the framed caricature of Scotty on the wall in his bedroom with a cowboy hat on and a lasso. Anyways, Sue wants to know what the kids are saying about her at school. And Donna doesn't lie and admits that there is speculation and then adds this in our final clip.
I just keep thinking about what Andrea said.
What did Andrea say?
She said the kids just don't make up stories about it has to come from somewhere. Anyway.
Do you want to know what happened?
I'll tell you what happened. He was kissing me and touching me. I don't know who started it. It could have been me. He said it was me. But then I didn't want to anymore. And I pulled away. But he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me go.
But who is she talking about? Not Gil Myers. It's her Uncle Henry. Dun, dun, dun. So Donna is actually better at this than she thought. Also, that's a horrible story. And the aspect of, like, I don't know who started it. It could have been me. He said it was me is a gross but well done tie into his thing at the table about what did you do to make him think that he could do that or whatever. Like, ugh. So gross.
Yeah, it's really, I am surprised that this is where the writing is, like, quite consistent, both with itself. I mean, not the Gil part of it, which is ridiculous, because they clearly just, like, made that shit up as they went along to try to make him sympathetic.
Yeah.
But that this part of it is really consistent, both with itself and with what survivors say about their abusers, is, like, you?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And Nicole Tom, really good.
Yeah, she's really good. I mean, it doesn't hurt that she's opposite Tori Spelling, who is not the best at emotions. But she is really good in this scene and much better than she is in any of her previous episodes, too.
And this is, like, this is the Donna I like. That's, like, this approachable, gentle soul.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say simple. But I'm not supposed to call her simple.
I know what you mean. She's not pushy like Andrea and Brenda are. Like, she's just like, I'm here. And then that's what makes Sue open up to her.
Yeah. I would tell Donna things. She seems sweet. I don't know.
She does.
It's just when we're asked to believe that she's, like, this brilliant fashion designer and, you know, gentleman slayer. It's like, really? No.
Or reincarnation of Lucille Ball, which no.
Yo, no.
Anyway, Donna brings Sue out to disclose this to her mother. Henry behind Mrs. Scanlon is immediately tense. And instead of seeing how Mrs. Scanlon reacts, we cut to Donna reporting the encounter to Brenda and Andrea at the Peach Pit. Boo. But anyway, that said, everyone is happy that Sue doesn't have to keep the secret anymore. And that is a presumption of innocence. What a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oof.
Cheery.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess it ended well in the sense that she told somebody the truth. But also, I am not confident in Mrs. Scanlon's ability to handle this at all. And I'm pretty sure we never
did. They sort of made it sound like Mrs. Scanlon believed her. Was there not a line about that?
No, no, she did. But I mean, like, to handle it going forward, you know, to make sure that she's getting whatever help she needs. Because she's a weirdo.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Conrad is just like, bye.
Conrad and his glasses. Oh, God. All right.
And his poor gun-keeping skills.
Sorry, I mean, he did lock the drawer, and he did have a key on top of the desk. Oh, Conrad. No wonder you're never home, plagued with guilt. let's wrap it up. MVP of the episode.
Oh, look, it's the MVP.
Donna, I have to say, what do you think?
Yeah, I can go with Donna.
She's the only one that actually gets things done, and it is, as you say, because she's like just backs off and lets it happen instead of hard charging at everybody about it.
Yeah, true.
Least valuable player.
Oops, wrong one.
Oh, look, it's Grandpa.
Henry the molester? I don't think there can be really any doubt about that.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay, there can.
Yeah, because I had it as a tie between Brandon and Gil.
That's also fair. Speaking of Brandon, let's talk about the Moo Moo Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode that Brandon could have ended up dead. Slipped in a puddle of spilled seltzer and his own self-righteousness on the dance floor at Kingston 12.
I love that one. Flailed in the throat by that Ricky Vasquez looking guy with his awesome dance moves and super tall poof, thereby splitting his windpipe and killing him.
Dying of embarrassment at someone walking in on his private dance lesson with either David or Nikki.
Kicked in the balls 5 times by Andrea.
Punched in the braying throat by Andrea just for good measure to make sure that he actually stays down.
I like it.
That's 5. Oh, all but right. Finally, David, you forgot the Brenda, I Hate Brenda excerpt.
Oh, yeah, I did.
So here it is.
Yeah.
This is from the same chapter of the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Here we go. One of her passions at the time was animals. According to 17 magazine, a dream of hers was to own a ranch where she could breed thoroughbreds. If I have a really tough horse who doesn't mind if I get him to jump, she said of her love of riding, I pound on him. And when I finally get the horse to do it, it's an incredible feeling. I feel like screaming. Shannon had a favorite horse named Old Dominion, but due to financial pressures and her increasingly busy schedule at the time, she had to give him up. She also had a house full of dogs, which she called the Shando Kennels. S-H-A-N-D-O. One of my dogs had puppies, so I had a kennel, she said to 17. I checked out all the dogs that were going to be put to sleep at a pound, and I'd bring them home, get them all their shots, get them fed, groom them, and find them homes. But she had to give them up, too. End of excerpt.
Speaking of strays, next time on Again With This, Reek returns, and so does Brenda's atrocious accent with breakup-y results. You can see the results of that episode, this episode, and all the other Again With This episodes in our visual aids at previously.tv, and you can also follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. On Twitter, I'm Tomato Nation. Tara is Tara Ariano, and you can follow our esteemed producer Dave at Glark on Instagram. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Worst.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.